Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports, and we are out here at the Rusty Nail in Hermitage. Max just got some wings that look really good, so I will definitely be getting some of those later.
Yes,
got drink specials. There's all the games on, so I know Michigan State. D-Maze is hopping out of his chair. Michigan State USC is getting into the nitty-gritty. Michigan State up 66-51. Kennesaw State.
Kennesaw State up 11.
Up 11 on 3-seed Xavier. We will keep you
in
updated.
In the second half.
Come on, Xavier.
Now, D-Maze, you've got mixed feelings right now. You love that the Spartans are winning. That's the first priority. But where did you have Xavier going in your
Xavier
bracket?
I got Xavier going to the Final Four.
I know. Xavier is 1 of 8 from 3. 14 for 33 from the floor. So they're not shooting it well.
That might be bad.
I got to believe a little tightness is setting in here. Kennesaw State shooting over 50% from the field. So they are playing really well. Also, Cal Santa Barbara, another 14 seed, leading Baylor, 26-22, with 6 minutes to go in the first. VCU just underway against St. Mary's.
All right.
So,
a bunch of tournament action today. We'll keep you updated all day long with the tournament news. The Predators last night fall to the Chicago Blackhawks at home 2-1, and I viewed that as being such a key game because the Predators have an incredibly difficult stretch coming down the remainder of the season. So you got to pick up those wins where you can get them. Off night for the Preds last night, Willie.
Yep, it was a bummer. They've won 10 games by a score of 2-1, which is hard to do in the league. It's the second most wins in the league, scoring two or less. Most nights, you need to score three or more to win. But they have UC Saros. They have Kevin Lankinen. Mm-hmm. So they've won a bunch of those. Last night, they just couldn't get the goals. They had a breakaway early in the game with Phil Tomasino. I thought early in the game, they had that loose feel to them that I've seen the last 10 games or so where they got nothing to lose. They got the chip on their shoulder. They had that. They didn't bury one early. They had a two-on-one. They had a power play early. At the end of the first period, they gave up kind of a freaky goal where Dante Favreau dives. He blocks a pass, but then his momentum carries him into UC Saros. Everybody went into the net, including the puck. So Chicago had the lead. From then, this is just the way I saw it. I thought the Predators played a little nervous and tight. Like, hey, we're supposed to be winning this game. Why aren't we winning? And that's the first time I've seen that since the weight was lifted. And they made all the trades.
They're feeling the weight.
And they were
come
feeling
back
it
on
a little bit, and they just couldn't get it right. They just didn't quite have the attention to detail to finish, so they left some points on the table because Winnipeg lost to Boston. So it would have set up a scenario where they could have won tomorrow against the Jets and been in the playoffs after tomorrow. But that's not possible now.
First time the Preds would be in a playoff spot since when?
Way back.
December, maybe?
Oh, I don't even know.
Before?
I don't think they were ever in it because they got off to a bad start. Remember, when they came back from Prague,
right?
They had a 3-8-1 stretch, and so I don't think they've been in the playoffs since then. So still, because Winnipeg lost, they still have played three less games than the Jets. They've got the Jets head-to-head tomorrow. It's still a huge game, so we'll see what happens. I don't know if they're going to get anybody back in the lineup tomorrow. I'd be surprised. And so, again, you ask yourself, what's too much to ask with who they're putting out there right now? Missing Johansson, Forsberg, McDonough, Carrier, Parsonen. No, it's just a lot. They kind of – it was a little bit of a reality check, a correction, if you will, last night. But let's see if they can get back on it, get off to a good start. The Jets have been feeling some pressure. They haven't been playing great. They've got some injuries, so we'll see about tomorrow. Also, keep this in mind. The Predators called up their first-round pick or signed their first-round pick to come over to Milwaukee. Joachim Kimmel, who everybody was really surprised was still available where the Predators picked last year. I think it was 17th in the draft last year. They did not, you know, usually they put a jersey. They make about four or five jerseys of the players they think they might pick in the first round so they can bring it up to the podium, hand it to the guy. They didn't make a Kimmel jersey because they just did not think he would be sitting there at 17. He was. They drafted him. He had a very good year in the Finnish adult league this year. So at 18 years of age, he's tracking really well. Milwaukee, we know they've called up half their team to the Predators, so they need some spots. So Kemmel's going to get a chance to play for the Admirals. So keep an eye on that. Another exciting prospect who they think has some really good potential, but he's super young.
And what would that mean for the active roster? You know, Joachim Kimmel, let's say he gets called up, what spot would he be filling? I guess that's not really, you can't predict it in terms of injury, but
yeah.
Who would you see a potential hole being open for Joachim Kimmel to fill?
Well, they are running out of depth. I think that's the thing. They're running out of guys they can call up. So I think for him, I would hate to put him in a position to fail, right? You don't want, just throwing him in would be tough. Now, if they were out of the race with a couple games to go and they just wanted to take a look at him for a game or two,
I'd get it.
Maybe they would try that, but I think they want to get him some experience on the smaller rink in North America for the Admirals, who I think they want to go on a long playoff run. Now, that would be great experience for him, and that could speed up his development for the coming year. So I think it's really more about Kemmel in Milwaukee, but the Admirals will be really excited to see what he's got.
The Predators 4 points behind a playoff spot, 4 points behind the Winnipeg Jets with three games in hand, and they will face the Jets tomorrow. A little matinee matchup between the Predators and the Jets tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. That's going to be a huge one for the Predators in terms of the playoff picture, because you are closing in on Winnipeg. A win over Winnipeg, that's a huge leap in the playoff picture.
They've made up 9 points on the Jets. The Jets didn't look like they were catchable a few weeks ago, but since the trade deadline, they've made up 9 points in the standings on them. And Nino Niederreiter, of course, has been playing very well since he's been traded to the Jets. So that's been a few weeks now. So it'll be interesting to watch him in the Jets uniform. But the Jets, they haven't played great here recently. The two teams have split the two games so far head-to-head, but it's been so long since they played. Both teams are going to look pretty different, I think, when they see each other tomorrow. And you've got two of the best goalies going head-to-head. UC Saros and Connor Hellebuck are two of the very best at elevating their particular team. So you never know. I'm just going to keep saying it. Enjoy that they have meaningful games. At the trade deadline, I did not think this game was going to mean what it means tomorrow. It's a credit to the group for staying relevant even after the loss last night. I'm just saying I'm glad that this game has some meaning and has some juice to it. So we'll see what the kids can do.
And it's fun.
This is fun.
It is so fun.
Last night was not fun.
Really?
Last night was, you know, for the first time, it's like you're disappointed. Mm-hmm. When it was before, it's like, hey, let's see what they do. Who knows what they're going to do? Hey, they won. Hey! You know, now it's like, oh, we lost to the Blackhawks. If they had beaten the Blackhawks or at least had a point in 13 straight. Uh-huh. So that's another, like, law of averages. They've won all these 2-1 games. They always have been beating the Blackhawks. They were kind of due to have that happen, unfortunately, and it's just kind of how it happens sometimes. So let's see how they recover from that, because when they lost to Arizona on the road trip, that was the one game where it was like, oh, you lost to Arizona? They bounced back and beat the Kings in the next game, a really good team, probably their best win on that road trip. So they handled that well. Let's see if they learned some lessons from the game last night, and they play with a good edge and bring their best tomorrow against the Jets.
Good lessons for some of these young guys.
That's what
back,
you got to do.
You get knocked down, you bounce right back. And it is fun that these games matter, because going back before the trade deadline, that's all I wanted was for this team to be fun, to have something to root for, to be able to watch the games and know that you're in it, know that you're in the fight. And of course, sometimes that takes taking a few steps back in order to take a couple of steps forward. But now the games are so fun to watch. They're playing with some fire, some pizzazz. They've got the fire underneath them, and it's been really, really exciting to watch. Big one for the Predators tomorrow, hosting the Winnipeg Jets. Puck drop at 1:00. We'll have all your pregame news on 102.5. The game starting at noon tomorrow. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It's rumor season, and the rumor mill is absolutely rolling. And this time, the rumor mill is rolling about the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into what that means coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we're out here at the Rusty Nail. All the games are on. D-Mace's Spartans are up 66-57. We're coming down to the last stretch of the second half. D-Mace ain't sweating in one little bit.
Oh, no, not at all.
We'll keep you updated all day long. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 125, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're out here at the Rusty Nail in Hermitage. We've got a whole squad coming out to watch some of the games, grab some wings, grab some beer. Come hang out, watch the NCAA tournament action with us out here at the Rusty Nail. So we have learned that this time of year in the NFL, it is rumor season. Rumor and, you know, all of these reports and agent season, you know, throwing things out. We've learned that. We learned that with the report from Michael Silver of Bally Sports. He said reportedly there was a rumor that the Titans were shopping Derrick Henry, and that sent all Titans fans into a tailspin. Understandably so. It's Derrick freaking Henry. Anytime you hear his name, your ears perk up. Understandably so. But this time around, it was about Kevin Byard. Mike Lombardi, former NFL general manager, joined the GM Shuffle podcast on the DraftKings podcast network. He was talking about all things in free agency, Aaron Rodgers, you know, the big hot ticket items on the docket for NFL chatter, and brought up the Tennessee Titans' own Kevin Byard. This was Michael Lombardi earlier this week on the GM Shuffle podcast.
So, and Jesse Bates is a good player. But to me, I think when, you know, Kit Byard, the kid at Tennessee, right, Kevin Byard, he's really a good player. They're trying to get him to take a pay cut. So when I sign Bates, if he doesn't take a pay cut, they're going to cut him. So if I sign Bates, do I go after – I would rather have Byard than Bates. I think he's really a good player. So you got to kind of play that around a little bit. You got to wait.
Oh, Kevin Byard. Wow, that's an interesting one because he's a former All-Pro. He's a really good player,
but they're trying to get him to take a pay cut. He doesn't want to do it. Now, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road. Who's, you know, are they bluffing? Are they not bluffing? You know? Yeah. I mean, they got cap issues. I mean, that team's in a mess.
So, again, Michael Lombardi on the GM Shuffle podcast. First and foremost, we have to ask the question, how much juice do we think is there to this? How reliable can Michael Lombardi's, and I'm not going to call it a report, but Michael Lombardi's, you know, statement there on the podcast, how much juice is that really? Is that the Titan that is happening? They're having these conversations. Kevin Byard has sat down and they've discussed salary, they've discussed cutting Kevin Byard. Or is it, you know, maybe we heard this through the rumor mill, through a game of telephone, maybe at the Super Bowl, at the NFL Combine, and it's kind of snowballed into this. That's the first thing that we have to address. How much juice does this have?
I mean, you know, it could, it could not. But I think the climate that we're in is not out of the realm of possibility that what has been said is going on, because we know this team is transitioning. We've seen the cuts made. Now we can justify those cuts because a lot of those guys dealt with injuries, majority, you know, within the last 3 years, more times than not. So we can sort of justify and see why. I think this one is harder for fans that are just looking at it from a emotional standpoint. I understand. Like, I wouldn't want to get rid of Kevin Byard. When you're talking about a guy, what really made me, you know, look at Kevin Byard in a different light? I knew he was a good player, borderline great player, borderline Hall of Famer. You know, he has 3 or 4 more years left in the league. You know, he could be a potential Hall of Famer or not, you know, but he's definitely a Tennessee Titans Hall of Fame type of guy. What really brought it home to me was this past season when everybody else, you know, was – Vrabel was pulling guys out to not play the game before Jacksonville
game. The Cowboys game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what did Kevin Byard do? He was a guy I want to play. Put me out. And what did he do? He had a great game.
He picked off Dak twice.
Exactly. He had a great season. So guys like that don't come along too often. He's one of those old school, hard nosed guys that truly plays the game. Yes, the money's great, but he truly plays the game because he loves it. You know, and he understands any opportunity that I have to walk on that field, I'm taking it. Just because we may not need this game, I'm not going to sit out. There's nothing wrong with me. That shifted it. That shifted it for me in regards to Kevin Byard. That guy, under any other circumstances, I'm like, don't. You got to keep him. You got to find a way to keep him. But I understand also the business side of it that, you know, he is the top safety in regards to making money and what he means to your salary cap. And he's only behind the quarterback, you know, as far as guys that are taking up a bulk of your cap. So from a business side, you have to do something, whether it's restructure, ask ask him to take a pay cut. You got to do something because you can't continue to go with him making that much money in this Tennessee Titans team in a situation where they're trying to reset as an organization. So, unfortunately, he's one of those guys that may be gone.
Let's look at Michael Lombardi, a guy that has been in football for a long time. Mm-hmm. He is, in theory, pretty connected with GMs, people around the league. So I don't think he just threw that out of left field.
He probably didn't even know something. Kevin Byard's name.
Right. He didn't know the name.
He would throw that out of nowhere.
But I think he knows, and this used to happen to Floyd all the time. He would forget guys' first names or last names. He knew exactly who he was talking about, but the name didn't pop into his head. So that does happen sometimes. But he knows who Kevin Byard is and has heard this, and he made a note. He just kind of threw that in there in another discussion. Now, what we don't know is they're trying to get him to take a pay cut. That could mean a lot of different things, and I'd love to know details on that, and we don't know the details. But you take him throwing out there and you start doing your research. Kevin Byard is the highest cap hit of any safety in the upcoming season, over $19 million for the hit. He's going to be 30. I understand. It makes perfect sense why you would want to address the cap hit in some form or fashion, whether it was, hey, you take this money or we're cutting you, or let's talk about this. You want to retire a Titan? Here are the things we can do, but we can't have you playing at 19 against the cap. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense. So it's a special player that you got to handle with special treatment. But the cap is such, and the team's in a place where you get that old adage, a year too early or a year too late. Mm-hmm. Derek, you've made this point all day. At some point, this was going to come up, whether it's this year or next year. You might as well start talking about it this year, as special as Kevin Byard is. Mm-hmm. But Rand Carthon's coming in. He's not emotionally attached to any of these players. He's just looking at the docket of contracts on the cap, looking at how much cap space he's had, looking at all the needs of the team, and he's going over salaries saying, man, that's a big chunk. Mm-hmm. It's a big chunk. Did you say second only to Ryan Tannehill? Cap hit. He's a safety, right? He's an extremely important player, but that's just out of whack with what you normally would pay a safety. So how could you address it? What are the options? I think it's fair that they've got to discuss that.
Well, and he could say, listen, this was the last regime that did the contract and then restructured the contract. Yeah. This is not what I want to do, or this is not what we want to do moving forward.
And I think that when you look at the options, the cap hit is too high. Okay, so a pay cut is absolutely on the table. That is team-friendly, and that is the player taking one for the team. If a player doesn't want to do that, I don't blame that player in the slightest. You signed me to this contract, whether it's the GM or the organization as a whole. You signed me to this contract. This is the money that I earned. This is the money that I deserved at the time. It's my money. I'll take it. And I don't blame a player for saying that. I don't know if that's how Kevin Byard would approach the situation. I don't know what his priorities are. If number one priority is playing in Tennessee, number two priority is money, then he would take a pay cut if that's his higher priority. I don't know what Kevin Byard's priorities are. The second one would be either converting to signing bonus or restructuring the deal. But both of those things would require more cash up front. And what's one thing that we've heard about the Titans this season? They ain't got a whole lot of cash to spend. At least that's the rumor that was going around the NFL Combine, is that the Titans don't have it and they don't intend to spend a whole lot of cash this season. So if the Titans did cut Kevin Byard, then maybe Michael Lombardi's statement on this podcast of saying take a pay cut or we cut you is because they just simply don't have the cash on hand. And that is kind of putting your team in a tough position, because Kevin Byard's a leader on this team, a leader in the locker room. I mean, when Kevin Byard's on the field, it's just a difference maker. He is a good player, a good guy. He personifies everything that this team is: playing tough, playing hard, you know, playing for your team. And that would be a really tough hit to take, because you just simply don't have the cash to give to him to be able to make it work in the cap.
You also made a point that's worth repeating, and that is the June 1st date. Mm-hmm. Tell people the June 1st significance of his contract, which tells you a little bit of the timeline that they have to sort of discuss this, because once they get to June 1st, the picture changes a little bit.
Totally. So right now, Kevin Byard is due $14.1 million in base salary. His cap hit is $19.6 million. Now, if they decided to cut him today, his dead cap would be $13.632 million. So that's money that the Titans would just have to eat. But they would save just shy of $6 million against the cap. $6 million versus Kevin Byard. Give me Kevin Byard all day long. $6 million wouldn't be worth it. But if the Titans did decide to wait until June 1st to cut Kevin Byard, that cap hit would only be 5.5, and you would save 14.1.
Yeah, so be expecting. Don't expect, even if it's, even if what was said is true, don't expect, unless it's a trade, don't expect anything to happen pre-June 1st. If anything's going to happen, it's going to be after that. But I would sort of, you know, warn any player in this situation, because I've seen it. Now, the NFL may be a little bit different now. The money is greater now. But know when you restructure your contract, if indeed you want to be here, you better get some guarantees to that contract, because they can restructure it, lower it and everything, and then you end up being a August cut. You end up being a cut in camp because some younger player has developed and they see a lot of promise in that younger player for a lower price. So if you're going to restructure any player, not just Kevin Byard, if you're going to restructure and help out the team, make sure they're giving you some guaranteed money. So at least if they do cut you, at least you're getting something.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So because they could do, not to say that the Titans will, but they, and just like any other team, if this wasn't the Titans, I would be saying the same thing. Just because they restructure your contract doesn't mean they can't still cut you, you know?
So it would just be financial repercussions down the road for the team.
Yeah, if they restructure it to help their cap, in a sense, and lower your dollar figure, mm-hmm. you know, to them it's not hurting us. We got exactly what we wanted. We got you to restructure, take a pay cut, and we still have the ability to cut you without a huge ramification of the salary cap.
But it wouldn't, as a restructure.
Not to say the Titans will
mean
do
a cut. It wouldn't mean a salary cut.
It could potentially mean that, yeah.
Would
if
it?
They, yeah, if they restructured the contract and there's no, like in the restructure, there was no guarantee. But typically, Byard restructured is what, last year or the year before that? He was young enough that I'm sure that he knew he was going to get that money.
Mm-hmm.
If they restructure that and push years out, it's going to lower everything, but he's not guaranteed those years after this season.
But he would get that dead cap money.
But he would get the money for that year, potentially. Yeah.
If they restructured, let's say they restructured Kevin Byard's contract this year. Let's say they add in, you know, three more years. Mm-hmm. Then the dead cap hit for year two would be higher than it would for year five. So the longer they hold on to him, the lower the dead cap hit goes. Yeah, but there is money that he wouldn't see.
Yeah, he wouldn't see. And if they restructure it and ask him to take a pay cut in the process of restructuring,
if you take a pay cut,
yeah,
then you're just losing money.
Yeah, you're losing. So the team would more likely do that. Okay, we'll restructure it. You take a little bit less. The contract is worth less now. And, you know, it helps us as a team, and it gives you the security, in a sense, that at least this season you may be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, they could still cut you.
Yeah, I mean, like, if a pay cut is on the table, that's something that Kevin Byard would have to agree to.
Yeah.
And if he wants to, then fine, great. Then you get to stay in Tennessee, Kevin Byard. And Tennessee still has their leader in the locker room in Kevin Byard. It's not necessarily a win-win, but it's nothing that Kevin Byard doesn't have to agree to. But understanding that if you don't agree to it, I mean, you might be gone.
Bye-bye.
You might
June
be gone.
June 1st. Watch out for June 1st. Let's hope they talk through it on both sides. And let's hope there's a pathway to make this work, and it's not either or. It's either you take this or you're gone. Let's hope that there's two or three options for Kevin Byard if he does want to stay, because I got to believe that the Titans would love to work out a way for him to stay if it fits their needs because mm-hmm. he's a guy that lights up all the lights. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who's a leader. He's a foundational kind of player. He's a Ring of Honor kind of guy, I think. I mean, he's right
oh, yeah,
up there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's going to be something to watch. Now, D-Mace, here's some more good news for you. Xavier was down by 13, 61-48. Xavier's on an 11-0 run to get the lead down to 2. 5:50 to go against the 14 seed Kennesaw State Owls, who are going for a big upset. So they just tied it?
Just tied
it. Yep.
Oh, boy.
Let's
go. Kennesaw State has been leading really the entire game.
Don't bust my bracket.
In this one since the early minutes. So Xavier's coming back, the Musketeers. UCSB, Santa Barbara, up by 1 at the half against another number 3 seed, Baylor. So a
Ooh.
Lot of upsets in the making here. It's been really exciting.
Ooh, and day one definitely set the standard.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Princeton upsetting Arizona, Furman upsetting Virginia. Ooh, it was a good day. And today will be even better. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
For me?
Yeah.
Well, this is my legacy, man. I've played my college ball here in Tennessee. Just finished my 7th year here in Tennessee. I would love to be able to retire as a Titan. This team, this city, this organization, the fans, community, it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my family. So definitely wouldn't want to play any other place, any other city, any other organization other than Tennessee Titans.
There you go. That was Kevin Byard at the end of this past season. Nowhere I'd rather be other than Tennessee. I want to retire a Tennessee Titan, but coming out from Michael Lombardi, reportedly, what he said on the GM Shuffle podcast, on the DraftKings podcast network, the Titans either want Kevin Byard to take a pay cut or they're going to have to cut him. And I think that the Titans are kind of hovering over a really dangerous territory in terms of their reputation, both around the league and within the locker room. Because there are the reports that come out about potentially, you know, trading Derrick Henry or Derrick Henry being shopped. Probably because, one, the Titans want to get out a year early before a year late, and that's also a pretty hefty price tag, a $16 million cap hit for Derrick Henry this year. Then this with Kevin Byard, take a pay cut or cutting you, a player that's been incredibly reliable, incredibly consistent, and both on the field and in the locker room as a leader and as a player. And also, you're undergoing contract negotiations with Jeffrey Simmons. When it just came out, you know, a few months ago in his sit down with The Athletic, when reportedly the Titans told him, we don't know how we're going to pay you. The rumors coming out at the NFL Combine that the Titans just don't have cash to spend and they're not going to spend it this season. I fear that the Titans are hovering over very dangerous territory. The more and more they make these moves or the more and more these rumors come out, that they just don't have the money. And that's a very scary position to be in if you are currently a young guy in this locker room, and a scary position for the Titans in terms of the rest of the league whenever you're going through free agency.
I mean, every team goes through this. Some more times than others. Some it's every, 10 years they go through this. Mm-hmm. So this is not like uncharted territory.
No.
For the Titans, but for the NFL period. Players are not going to not come to Tennessee because of what they've seen done. Because of what they also seen done is them give Kevin Byard that massive contract mm-hmm. when he played well. Give Derrick Henry that massive contract when he played well. Give Ryan Tannehill a massive contract when he played well. So there's situations where, the Titans did exactly what they were supposed to do. You play well, we pay well. But they also
get hurt.
Yeah, you always get hurt. You get cut. We uh-huh. brought in Bud Dupree on a massive contract. He wasn't playing he wasn't available when we wanted him to. He was hurt. 2 years later, you're out the door. Mm-hmm. That's just how the league is. So I don't think it would deter players from coming here because players understand that, listen, if I play well, they're going to pay me. And if I'm playing well, they cut me, somebody else will pay me. That's mm-hmm. just the way it is,
One man's
trash is another man's treasure or a woman's treasure. It doesn't matter.
AJ
if
Brown.
I'm still playing well, then there's a market for me. And Kevin Byard is still playing well. So if the Titans choose to cut him after June 1st, best believe there will be at least three or four suitors wanting him to be a part of their team.
No question, but just not at $19 million.
Yeah, not at that cap number.
That's what everybody would be drooling over is if he got cut and you could sign him to a new, brand new, you know, structured, any way you want to do it, he would be really attractive on the market. That's the point, I think, that Lombardi was making.
Yeah.
If he jumped in there to the market, wow, people would be like,
exactly.
One of the top safeties in the league.
That's why I think the communication is going to be so important, because it's got to be, and Derek, you know this as well as anybody, it's got to be a blow to your ego when the team comes to you and says, we have to address your cap figure. So how you do that, the language you use, the tone is very important. Because I think if I'm trying to sell that to Kevin Byard, I'm saying, look, this is not about you as a player. You're everything we've ever wanted you to be. We signed you to this contract, but this is the reality of where our team is right now. We just can't have you playing at 19.6. We can't make the numbers work. So how do we get around this? We want you to stay. Here's what we can do and go from there. And he might say, look, thanks but no thanks. I'm going to go somewhere new. I'm going to maybe jump on a team that's got a chance to win. I'd love my time here, but let's part ways. You know, there's a lot of ways this thing could go.
Now, did I hear correctly? I don't know if I did or didn't, but did they ask Ben Jones to take a pay cut? And
see,
wouldn't?
We don't know.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Might have been a rumor that was out there that they asked me, said no, but we don't know definitively whether that was the case. What we also got to realize is this, because it's not just that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Because of the respect that Ben Jones has.
Exactly.
It's very similar to Byard. Hey, Ben, here's where you are in your career. Mm-hmm. Two concussion protocols last year. Here's your cap figure. We'd love to have you, but the numbers just don't quite work. We got limited funds here. Here's.
And Ben might have said, nope.
Nope, I'm not doing it.
We do know that they gave him the option to either retire or get cut.
Exactly.
And he probably looked at it like, okay, if you do want me to take a pay cut, I'm not interested in that.
Exactly.
Let me go look at the market, see what's available, and then, you know, from there we'll figure it out, whether I retire or get
re-signed.
Yeah, but
you're not going to force me to retire.
No, yeah.
But even with this, with Kevin Byard, what you got to understand also is, how does he view this team? Not how does he view the city. How does he view this team and their potential of winning right now? Because – If this is a 3-year deal, 4-year deal, where we're resetting it, it won't be until, you know, like really 3 to 4 years where we're back on top. Mm-hmm. Does he want to live through that 3 years, or does he want to? Does he say no? Listen, I feel, you know, that I'm worth more, or I am worth the money that you are supposed to pay me. You cut me, I go somewhere else to a contender. If the situation was reversed, if this team was a contender, I think he would be more inclined to take a pay cut. If this team was a legitimate contender for a Super Bowl, there would be no reason why he wouldn't take a pay cut to stay on a team that has the potential of winning a Super
Great
Bowl.
Point.
Right now, they
Great
don't.
Point. Is he going to be around long? How do you want to spend the rest of years? Now, some players, I think, when they're 30 – still think they're going to play for another 5 years.
Yeah.
People are like, hey, look, I'm staying in great shape. I've never been hurt. I'm going to play for a long time, so I can go through a transition, and I'll still be there when that new stadium opens up. Realistically, it's not – you don't know, but some people would say, look, I've only got – it's a year-to-year at this point. How do I want to spend the rest of my career? I could end up getting cut, go on a really good team and jump on there, be part of a great defense and a chance to win a Super Bowl. That's an option out for you. I also don't think this is the only player they're going to have these conversations with. You mentioned Ben Jones. I think Derrick Henry, there's going to be that conversation with him at some point, maybe Tannehill. Mm-hmm. A lot of these veterans here, right? Basically every veteran that's making a big cap hit, they might have to have that discussion. Can you imagine having that discussion with Derrick Henry? How tough that would be.
I think they already are having those conversations.
I think you're right.
When that report from Michael Silver came out, now that we're getting Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, two guys that I think a lot of Titans fans have viewed as untouchable, as guys that are going to be here forever and other cornerstones of the franchise. If you're having conversations with those guys, I don't know if anyone's off the table, Ryan Tannehill included.
There was only one guy that wasn't untouchable, and that was Bruce Matthews. Everybody else is expendable. Eventually, got to get rid of Bruce. I don't know how he did it. Well, I know how he did it. He just played exceptionally well, a lot. but he knew his job and he did it. But beside that, I'm like, man, Bruce was able to stay around here for 20 years, you know, and then he finally retired when he couldn't do it no more.
He was grandfathered in.
Exactly.
He couldn't do anything with him. But, yeah, I think that it's a very fair point to bring up, what are Kevin Byard's priorities? If it's staying here, then you can have those conversations. If it's making as much money as I possibly can before I can't play this game anymore, then I'm sorry, I'm not taking a pay cut. And I don't blame Kevin Byard for it.
Listen, they cut Kern, who at one point, Kern was the best player on their team. And they cut Kern,
the most
okay?
senior player on the team at one point. Maybe exactly. not senior, but had been with the Titans for the longest of anyone else. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your last Kevin Byard thoughts on that coming up next. Plus, we talk about kind of the off-the-field perception of what some guys in the locker room might look at the Titans doing with the money, what some guys around the league might think about it. But let's say Kevin Byard is not a Tennessee Titan in 2023, what kind of repercussions does that have on the field? Caroline Willie, DMA's 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline Willie, DMA's 1025-1063, The Game in The Game Nashville app. We appreciate the Rusty Nail for having us for our show and all day long. This place is a blast. They've got all the games on. The wings look great. I know they've got beer specials going on all day long. So make sure to hang out and watch the rest of the games today at the Rusty Nail. We know y'all took off work anyway, so may as well come out here and grab a beer and enjoy the day. Breaking down the statement that Michael Lombardi made on the recent GM Shuffle podcast on the DraftKings podcast network. And he said that he heard if Kevin Byard does not take a pay cut, then the Titans are going to have to cut him. And I see your text in the text line. Mm-hmm. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter texts in and says, he sounds like half a meatball. Don't buy it. When a former general manager in the National Football League says something about the Tennessee Titans, you have to pay attention
exactly.
to it. It may have zero juice to it. It may have been the teeniest, tiniest rumor that just snowballed into what it is now. But Michael Lombardi is as plugged in as anybody in the league. Michael Lombardi's got skins on the wall. It's not nothing.
I can see if this was... It came up 2 years ago, and I'd be like, okay, and yeah. I can't.
Pump the brakes.
But just look at it from this standpoint. You know, take your emotions out of it. Mm-hmm. From a salary cap standpoint and where this team is headed, this is not out of the realm of possibility. It's not like one of these, let's just throw something against the wall and hope it sticks. This has some validity to it because of where the Titans are, mm-hmm. because of the moves they've already made, because of where Kevin Byard is in his career, the amount of money he's making, the cap number that this team has
yep.
on him, or the cap number that he has that goes toward the team. This is not like it's out of the realm of possibility.
I think any GM who looked at those two things, the cap hit for Byard, the cap situation of the Titans, where the Titans are right now in the grand scheme of things in the AFC pecking order mm-hmm. right now, I think they would all, from the outside, even if you had no information, say, that's a contract you'd probably look at. That would be a total outsider's view. Mm-hmm. Then you consider that he probably has a lot of contacts, knows a lot of people, and probably did have a discussion with somebody who's been in on that and went from there. So I think this is very believable, mm-hmm. but I do think there are a lot of options. I don't think it just means they're going to cut him. Mm-hmm. I just think there's some big discussions that have to take place between now, especially up until June 1st, when the game changes.
It doesn't mean they're going to cut him. It doesn't mean they're going to cut him tomorrow. It doesn't mean that anything is happening right mm-hmm. now. But I think that whenever we heard the reports that Derrick Henry was getting shopped, I think we also all had to understand that there was nothing off the table. There's a new general manager. The AFC is only getting more difficult. Amy Adams Strunk has a $500 million check to write for the new stadium. So there's very little flexibility, it sounds like she has financially, to be able to make things work with the cap, to be able to get cash forward to pay these guys to alleviate that pressure on the cap. So understand that nothing is off the table. Nothing is out of the realm of possibility. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it doesn't mean that it's completely out of realm of possibility.
I think something will happen. Now, whether that means they release him or not, I don't know. But I think something that will help them cap-wise will happen with Kevin Byard.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yes. I would I would really go all in on that statement right there. Something has to be addressed with that contract. He will not play at 19.1 or whatever.
And let's say, let's take what Michael Lombardi said and run with that. Let's say Kevin Byard doesn't want to take a pay cut. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't, don't blame him. If the Titans do cut Kevin Byard, what does that mean for this defense? What does that mean for this team in 2023? And I will say this and couch it by saying that Kevin Byard is an invaluable piece to this defense. Kevin Byard is an invaluable piece to this team, to this locker room. His production, he's been great for this team in a leadership sense and also in a player sense. Mm-hmm. But I can also understand Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon looking at it like how many safeties in the league have won Super Bowls for their team?
Not many.
He makes you better, undoubtedly. Yes. You don't lose Kevin Byard and become a better football team. But they may look at it and say, you're not winning Super Bowls for us single-handedly. The difference between making the playoffs, you know, making a deep run in the playoffs and not making the playoffs at all probably doesn't fall on the shoulders of Kevin Byard. He's a difference maker, absolutely, for sure. But is he going to be the difference?
No, I don't think so. And I go back to what you and Willie have said about the Predators, taking one step forward back to take two steps forward eventually. If they do part ways with Kevin Byard, it would be no doubt taking a step back. But in their mind, it's taking a step back so we then can take steps forward, mm-hmm. a few steps forward. Why? Because it opens up cap space for us. So now we can start really doing some things that we may want to do to help build this team. They will not be a better team this year if they get rid of Kevin Byard. This year they won't be. But I think moving forward, because of the moves that they're making, they will ultimately be a better team. And we will look at moves like this and what they made with Taylor Lewan and Bud Dupree, and we say, well, they did all of that for a reason. Look at them now.
That's going to do it for us today. Appreciate the Rusty Nail for taking care of us. Willie, tournament update?
Quick update. Xavier leading by one over Kennesaw State. They just got a big blocked shot.
Ooh.
A rebound. There was a scramble for it. Kennesaw State thought they might have been fouled initially. Instead, Xavier got possession, got fouled. So with 2.6 on the clock, Xavier shooting at the line right now, trying to survive and advance.
They have three.
Those who have Xavier in their Final Four, I know that they are sweating. Well, that is going to do it for us today. We'll be back Monday at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is next.
Peace.